Next segment for this afternoon is something that is happening in Israel, I would say not on the national level of the country, but on the national level of the religious Zionist community in and of itself. In other words, the next session is not talking about the country at large, but what's happening within the religious Zionist community. And that's the following gentleman that you can see on the screen, either there or on my right or on your... And that is Rav Eliezer Melamed. Rav Eliezer Melamed is one of the primary poskim and rabbanim in the religious Zionist community. He is one of the leaders of the religious Zionist community today. And in the last, I would say, year, gaining steam in the last month, he's been viciously attacked for many things. So before we get into the attacks, which we wanted to just inform you about, let's just very briefly go ahead and introduce him. As you can see him from the screen, he's not dressed like a modern Orthodox Jew. And indeed, his orientation is not modern Orthodoxy. He learned in Merkaz HaRav. He's a son of a great Rav, Rav Zalman Melamed, who's the Rav of Beit El Bet. If you know Beit El, that is the more, quote-unquote, frumy neighborhood in Beit El. And that's where he grew up. Now, Rav Eliezer Melamed is known the most for these books called Pnei Halacha. Pnei Halacha is one of the most used books today in Israel in the religious Zionist community. I'm just wondering around the table, how many of you use it here in America? As I thought. I've seen it between Mincha Ma'ariv on my visits here, and I was one, and I thought so. Now, it's not only that...
They have to.
Exactly. It's not only that it's a book, and it's wonderful. I would say there's four or five things about it that make it so used today. Number one, it brings all the points of view. You don't have to go ahead and say this is Rav Melamed's point of view. He brings all the points of view and he referenced them. So if you're a Talmid Chacham, you can look it up and you can decide between them. And if you're not such a Talmid Chacham, then you don't have to look at the bottom of the page with the references. You can just get, there's five points of view on this issue. Number two, it's clear and concise. Really clear and concise. I think one of the reasons is he doesn't write it alone. He has a team with him, and they fine-tune everything together. Number three, it's accessible, as Rabbi Starr mentioned, meaning it's indexed, it's in print, it's on the net, and as the rabbi mentioned, it's an app, meaning it's accessible anywhere in the world. Anytime you want to look up a Shaila or anything, you can find it, either in print or on the net. Number four, he adds in what's called in Hebrew, Machshevet HaHalacha, what he believes are the reasons behind the various mitzvahs, which makes it not just a dry halachic book, but it makes it a bit more, I would say, interesting for people to read as a halachic book. And the last thing is, he's very practical. Namely, we're talking about a gentleman who's extremely practical when he paskins halacha, and I'll just give you an example right now with the following. Not in a very large issue, but an issue amongst issues. Red clothing for women. Now, we all know that the Gemara says that a woman shouldn't wear beged argaman. Is it applicable today? Yes, no, or maybe. Comes Rav Melamed. You can see a live example here. In the pink, yesh osrim levosh beged adam, and he explains what it's based on, and he always brings a source for it. So number one, clear language. Number two, their sources. And he says maybe the reason is A, and maybe the reason is B. And then he says, Ulam, in the green, Yesh achronim shesvurim, she'en kayom isur levosh begadim adomim, maybe there is no isur today, mishum l'shaladatam raka asher nagu agoyim lalechet begadim adomim chala isur. That only once upon a time when the non-Jews went around with red clothing and that was their identification card. We are non-Jews, and how do you show that? We're wearing red. That's when there was an isur, maybe not today. So here you go, 3 points, a point of view saying no, a point of view saying yes, 2 suggested reasons as to why. Finally, he comes down and he says, L'sikum, if you don't want to read this whole razzle-dazzle, here's the sikum, again, accessible on the net. L'da'at harbe poskim gam kayom yeshisur. Right? Then, aval, if it's a clothing that's red and a little other color, maybe it would be okay. V'chein mutar l'da'at kala poskim l'vosh beget shetzva'o loma mashadom, and etc. And yesh poskim shemichilim. And then he adds a practical point of view, which I think is unique for Rav Melamed. And that's about tznius in general. Now, every rabbi, I'm sure, around this table, once upon a time, had to have a conversation with a girl somewhere in their community about what tznius really means. What is modesty? And I'm sure we said somewhere or another, modesty means it's not just clothing. I'm assuming we used that line. Comes Rav Melamed and says, HaKlala yisodi shelichot tzniut hu, Shalolim shoch tzumet lev mukzemet. Tznius, if I have to define it, is that people shouldn't look at me as I walk down the street too much. They should look at me, but not too much. Tzumet lev mukzemet. And he goes on, en psul b'chach she'ishati ra'e yafeh. Lehefech, ra'ul lechol b'chura v'isha letapeach et olfata ve'levate et yofia. A woman should come along and look beautiful. Aval yofi zeh tzarich liyot adin u'mufna me'at. It shouldn't be as external and something that everyone sees all the time and every moment. Hameshader ne'imut ne'emanut v'tuv lev. Tznius means that when you walk around, you are able to leshader. Namely, everyone that sees you sees three things. Ne'imut, ne'emanut, v'tuv lev. This is a general, I would say, point of view, a typical point of view of Rav Melamed as to how he writes in Pinyanei Halacha. Now, as a teacher, you can teach this. As a Rav, you can teach this. This is a book that is so accessible and can be used, user-friendly, for so many people. Now, it's because it's so used that Rav Melamed's being attacked. Because had it been, excuse me for saying so, me, and I would have said something, no one cares. I'm a nothing. But when Rav Melamed, whose books are being used everywhere, and it's in every shul, and it's on your app, and it's on the net, says something, then he is being attacked. And the attacks are coming in all the time, and I believe the reason for it, and I'm giving my thesis here, I could be wrong, is because Rav Melamed is independent. Do you know where he lives, anyone?
Har Bracha.
Very good. He lives in Har Bracha. Anyone know what that is? I don't know how to get there. I live in Israel. I have no idea how to get there. Okay? I know it's in the Shomron. I know it's on top of a hill. I was once there. I don't know how to get there. The man sits on top of a hill, learns Torah all day in front of books, gives shiurim in the yeshiva, sets policy for his yeshuv, and that's what he does. Now, from this perspective, he sits there and he basically comes up with independent points of view based on two things. In this hand, he holds the Sfarim, and in this hand, he holds his conception of reality. And because of that, he comes up with points of view. Some of them are like many other rabbis. Some of them are against many rabbis. So, just a week ago, in the papers on Erev Shabbos, anyone who was in Israel knows that on Erev Shabbos in Israel, many, many forests are cut down, because there are endless parsha sheets based on your affiliation, your party. And one of the freebies is this newspaper on the left called B'Sheva. B'Sheva is a newspaper where Rav Melamed has a weekly column. And we're going to talk about that column in a moment. And in this weekly column, he said, Giyur, lemi shemitkaven lachyot kemesorati, that you can also convert someone that's not planning to be Shomer Shabbos, but rather is going to be a traditional Jew. Or I'll put it differently, he's going to live like most of the Jews who care about Judaism, live around the world. Not necessarily Shomer Shabbos, but let's just say he was talking about Israel. But in America, they're a member of a shul, they march in the Israeli Day Parade, perhaps they send their kids to a Jewish day school, along those lines. And he brought Poskim to obviously buttress his point of view, as he does in Pnei Halacha, and he was obviously attacked. But before he gets attacked, I just want to explain. He sits on that hilltop, and he comes up with independent points of view based on the Svarim and on reality, and here is a sampling of a few of them. Excuse me, wrong button. Here is a sampling of a few of them. Number one, he believes in dialogue with the conservative and the reform. He doesn't agree with anything they say, but he believes we have to dialogue with them because they're part of the Jewish people. Number two, he believes that we have to set that area around the Kotel that I'm sure you're all hearing about, for people to daven with mixed pews, and he's against those that demonstrate against it. Number three, he's for the kashrut bill that Rav Stav just presented, and the conversion bill that we'll present a bit later. Number four, now, not to think that he's just a make-kill on everything, he tells his soldiers who go to the army to refuse orders on things that are important to him, from Kol Isha to other things, and he has no qualms to write it and to say it. Number five, he has no qualms to support Rabbi Riskin when the chief rabbinate wanted to stop his rabbinate in Efrat. It's about now 8 years ago. He didn't know Rabbi Riskin, and I know this from his son-in-law. He had no idea who he was. He lives in Har Bracha. Rabbi Riskin's in Efrat. He says, who's Rabbi Riskin? His son-in-law happened to learn and run a Rabbi Riskin's programs. He asked him, get me a book of Rabbi Riskin. So he got him his biography. He read his biography. And he writes a column in the newspaper. How can you say he's not an Orthodox Jew? He's an Orthodox Jew. Like very, very, in a way, naively, but very honestly, right? He says in that particular column, he's a letter in the Torah. You may agree, disagree, but he's a letter in the Torah. He paskins for his community and anyone that listens to him that on Shabbos you have to learn 6 hours of Torah. Now, I just want to tell you, I was in Har Bracha for Shabbos. I saw people walking around the streets saying, how many hours did you learn today? I'm up to 4. Oh my gosh, I got another 5. That's the way they talk.
Where did you get six hours from? Just out of curiosity.
I read it many times. I still don't understand.
Tomorrow, Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil
Hashem. Oh, Chatzil.
Oh, okay.
So he decided, you're up.
Charles Daniel starts to get
okay. So he's not just Lakula, he's Lachumra. These people walk around and they're there.
It's true what Rabbi Shua is saying. My son was there also for Shabbat. It's something which is unheard of. All the colleges participate in tens of classes during the Shabbat. It's something which you cannot see nowhere in Israel. Hours and hours, many shiurim in different shuls because of this perception.
Okay, and then you should know, it's such a mekubal that when he wrote about a snowstorm that happened on Shabbos with power outages, he once wrote what happened. And he writes, and many people went out of their way to learn 6 hours on Shabbos by doing this and by doing that, and he wrote it like matter-of-factly. So there's no electricity, and there's no heat, and they have to deal with Shabbos food and minyan. Oh, and 6 hours of learning on Shabbos. This is Rav Melamed, totally independent. Okay? All right? He, in his yeshiva, refuses to allow anyone to stay after Shanahei unless he's going to be a Rav on the level of a yeshiva gvoha, of a high post-high school yeshiva, or a Rav of a community. Shanahei, out the door, you go learn a trade, because you have to make a living. They have a program at night to learn, to continue learning. But you cannot learn full-time after Shanahei in his yeshiva. Okay? Pardon?
Except on Shabbos.
Except on Shabbos. We just mentioned before that Zoom makes a minion. He said that during COVID, and it was indeed controversial, as many things. And this is Rav Melamed. Now, these points of view are in his books.
For Kaddish, he said that, though.
Yeah, for Kaddish.
Yeah.
This is points of view that are in his Sfarim, but they're also in the newspaper once a week. And it's a freebie newspaper, so people are exposed to him, even though he's living way out of everyone's sight. Because of this, in the last, I would say, year, and the last month even more, he's been attacked. Here are some of the Palshevikim. I don't think I have to translate what that is. Right here on the screen. Ligdor Kerem Beit Yisrael. He's going against the Masoret HaPsika Midor Lador. And indeed, if we can go on, I would say it gets more and more vicious. Rav Eliezer Melamed is indeed someone that will answer those that disagree with him. However, lately, and this is my first point, why he's being attacked, the attacks are very general. Namely, he's going against the Torah, he's going against Halacha, he's going against Mesorah, and they don't specifically say what the issues are. Here's a few examples. Rav Yitzchak Yosef b'mitkafal Rav Eliezer Melamed says he's a mishaker, misalef, megalef panim, batorah, shelo, kahalacha. Rav Yitzchak Yosef, like his father before him, gives a weekly shiur on Motzei Shabbos. It's on YouTube, you can hear it. And ultimately, he attacked him terribly, saying he's a liar, he's a cheat, and ultimately, he goes ahead and selectively quotes things. In addition to which, this goes on, Rav Dov Lior, again, from the religious Zionist camp here, saying, Heres Torat Yisrael b'misveh shel shalom. He is ruining the Torah under the guise of peace. Another article, and I quote, Amechaber Baal Pnei Halacha Shagah Harbe Me'ot. Uvadad dvarim milibo veisig vul olam asher gavlu rishonim. Now you understand uvadad dvarim milibo. That is a very harsh language. Everyone here knows what the source is, right? Yerovam, Rechavam, right? He made up his own holiday. So Rav Melamed's making up his own Torah. That's basically what's being said here. And this is going on and on in the last few weeks. And again, he does answer those that disagree with him. It's a quote right here. But here, these are very general attacks that are not specific. Going on, indeed, there are, I think, 4 things that bother him in what they're saying generally. Number one, he believes in the dialogue with the conservative and the reform streams, and that's getting many, many rabbis very upset in Israel. Number two, they call him immodest. Why do they call him immodest? Because he's exposing things in halacha that until now, unless you learned for smicha, you didn't know about. Okay, things in Hilchos Taharat HaMishpacha. that perhaps Rabbonim and Yo'atzot Halacha know about, that the Minister Kahana mentioned, he is exposing them in the newspaper and telling people, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is what the Ramah says, and this is what the Minhag is, on issues that we'll see in a moment, but they say he's immodest. He shouldn't go ahead and tell everyone about these quote-unquote secrets in Taharat HaMishpacha. Number three, because he supports the conversion reform, which we'll, of course, go ahead and tell you about later. And number four, they in general say his Piskei Halacha are wrong. In other words, his Pnimei Halacha are no good. Now, again, this is very, very interesting because up until about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, no one said about Pnimei Halacha, that's been around much longer, that the Piskei Halacha in there are wrong. So if you ask me, number one and two and three led to number four. In other words, once they're already saying one and two and three, they add in number four, but again, that's a thesis. I want to be more factual today. In general, I'd say the second attack is not just general, but specific. And that is that Rav Eliezer Melamed is a chatzuf. Why is he a chatzuf? Because he disagrees with rabbis that are bigger and older than him. Okay, here's an example. Rav Yitzchak Yosef again saying, "Eni mikirit kvodo val barur li shekvodo asa maasecha mor shelo kahogen." This is in reference of dialogue with the conservative and the reform. Achar sheino holech b'derech kol rabotenu shekadmu lanu ve'eino mitbatel klapei derech hanhagatam shel gdolei hador. In other words, you're a rav, but know your place. You're supposed to listen to the bigger rabbis than you. Rav Yitzchak Yosef is not alone. You can say Rav Yitzchak Yosef is maybe a Haredi, and indeed in his outlook he's much more Haredi. Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, from the religious Zionist camp, said exactly the same thing in a booklet that came out against Rav Melamed. Not a big booklet, but let's say this tall and this thin, came out in all the weekly newspapers. Misam chala horot bahorot shel klal hatzibur keneged harabanut harashit liYisrael ukeneged rov binyan uminyan shel rabbanei Yisrael. Namely, who told you that you're allowed to paskin against the greater rabbis?
What specifically is he talking about when he would say something like, is he talking about the reform bill, the conversion?
Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef is talking about the reform bill. Rav Shmuel Eliyahu added a few things in Pinenei Halacha that we'll see in a moment, that indeed Rav Melamed paskined against, I'd say, the going psak halacha. Mm-hmm. And they basically tell him, your job is just to be, I would say, a pipe from the Gdolei Hador, and tell the people what they say. You're not allowed to paskin on your own. Or I'll put it a different way. Your yore is limited. You're supposed to yore be'is of a heter based on what people tell you to say, not based on what you think is correct. Now, I am not talking for Rav Melamed. By the way, I am not his student. I never learned by him. I never heard a shir from him. I read the Pnimei Halacha like many of you. Okay? I did teach a son-in-law. That's the closest I got to the family. However, just to say, what is Rav Melamed based on? I'm just going to say, the Ramah Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, Mutar Lachlok, on your own Rebbe, Be'ez Psako Hora'a, Im Yeshlo Ra'ayot V'Hochachot Lidvarav Shahadin Imo. If indeed you think your Rebbe is wrong, you can come to him with sources and say, I believe you're wrong. Meaning there's no Isser to Cholek on your Rebbe. So assuming the Gdolei Hador are Rebbe's, again, assumption that for another Shir, you're allowed to have a machlokas with them if you indeed you have sources. Now, just to see this in, I would say, context and in a real case. I'm sure you know the picture on the screen. Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, this tshuva is written in 1952. Please remember that. Rav Moshe Feinstein is writing to Rav Menashe Klein. Everyone know who Rav Menashe Klein is?
Yes.
Okay, Baal Shut Mishne Halachot. Whoever doesn't like him calls it Baal Shut Mishane Halachot. Right? Rav Menashe Klein wrote 18 volumes of Responsum, but in 1952, he was, excuse me for saying so, in diapers. No one knew of him. He wasn't big. I know of his classmate from Yeshiva, who's my neighbor in Efrat. Okay, a man over 90 today, a Holocaust survivor, was with him in the camps. He was known as Menashe. He was learning. And this was the big machlokes. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskened that if there's no Erev on Shabbos, you can't wear the plastic bag above your strimal to protect it from the rain. And Rav Menashe Klein felt that it's a malbush, and you're allowed to wear it, like you're allowed to wear a suit and tie. That was the big machlokes. At the beginning of the tshuva, that Rav Menashe Klein writes to Rav Moshe against him, he writes, I'm not allowed to cholik on you, because you're the gdol ador. I'm not allowed to say anything against you. This is Rav Moshe's response. Hine, ma shemit nasel kvot taratol b'ma shechaluk alay b'dvar alacha, hu lemutar, כן, דרך התורה, שצריך לברר האמת. וחס ושלום מלשתוק. מי שסובר שאינו כן, בין לכולה בין לחומרה. First of all, it's your job to tell me I'm wrong. And you're not allowed to be quiet. And then he goes on to say in this tshuva that indeed in the Sanhedrin you would always start from the younger student so that he wouldn't be scared to tell the older Rav, hey, I think you're wrong. But in order for us to have all the facts in front of us, says Rav Moshe, you need to do it. And therefore he ends his tshuva, Lachen afim choshev yachshov oti kvot torato, the gadol, even if you think I'm the gadol hador, rashai lachok, you're allowed to cholek on me, umimele, because you're allowed to, mechuyav lomar dato. And this tshuva Rav Moshe says, if I'm wrong, all Am Yisrael is now wrong, is doing things shaloka halacha. And therefore, you have to go ahead and disagree. So the first thing that they're attacking Rav Malaban on is on general points of view that I showed earlier. And the second thing is, he's coming out on piskei halacha that go against what's perceived as the psak halacha of the gdolei hador. And I tried to show just now that that in and of itself, I believe, is not against halacha. As I said earlier, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening. They think he's going to take over, and they're worried that his way of taking over is not the right way for Am Yisrael. Absolutely. Now, the way to stop him is to say you're doing things against halacha. And we'll see in a moment that, again, this is one issue that they say, that you're going against halacha. I don't believe that on this issue, I think he's standing on very firm ground. If he believes that he's right, and he brings a ra'ayot to what he says, he's a rav, and he's allowed to. But 100%.
This happens every day. Like, meaning, like, what's the chiddush? Like, this when I went to school, they said this about Rav Shurlo, and they said this about Rav Stav, and they said, meaning, every year, and here in the United States, the same thing happens. Meaning, what's the big chiddush here that's happening to Rav Malamed? Like, I'm trying to figure out.
I think the only chiddush that's happening to Rav Malamed now is that it's happening within the religious Zionist world, and it's much more vicious. Meaning, because of the internet and social media, it's all over the place, and I think it's vicious, much more vicious than when you went to school, I think around the same time as me. And I can think of controversies when I was a teenager. Let's say against, if you remember the Shitat HaRevadim of learning Gemara. I don't know if you remember that controversy. But it wasn't as vicious. I don't recall it was as vicious as this for many different reasons. And one of them is what Rabbi Strachla said. This is halacha. This is not just how to learn Gemara. This is halacha lemaise. Number two, I think also because of social media. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a way, answered it in his introduction to Igros Moshe. He says, I don't know if I'm the Gadol Hador, but people kept asking me questions, and I kept answering. Meaning, how do you know if you're... So the answer is because people keep on buying his Sfarim, and people keep on asking him for more. And in that perspective, it's the people that are deciding. It's not he decides I'm the Gadol Hador. The people are deciding, this is the man to go to. Okay, just to give a few more things of what they're attacking him on. Making private deot b'halacha public. Now, there's three examples here, but there's many more. The first example is, what happens if a woman, during Shiva Nikiyim, didn't do any bedikot? So we all know we tell women to do bedikot every day, and if not, at least the first and the seventh day, and then there's a degradation. Now, this degradation of what to do b'diyevet, Rav Malamed spells out in Pnine Halacha. In this slide, I just brought what it says in the primary Sfarim. Namely, the Shulchan Aruch says what he says, and with a Yesh Omrim. The Sidrei Tahara, on the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch in the Pitchei Tshuva, says, maybe you can try saying the Hefsek Tahara is like a Bdika of one day, and then the eighth day would be the second day, the seventh day. And indeed, that's what he spells out in Pnine Halacha, that B'sha'at Atchak, if a woman didn't do Bdikot, this and this happened. Now, nothing here is a secret. When I learned for Smicha, this is what was taught. However, he makes it public. He lets the public know. Namely, women now are educated. Okay, there's a degradation. So many Rabbanim have come out against him and said, well, if women know number four, they won't even do number one. Or, let's take fish and meat. It's no secret that when the Rambam says different examples of what happens when this happens or that happens in Ta'arovet, he says, Dagim shetzela'ani mabasar asu lochlan bechalav. Right? And then he goes on, Ka'arash achlu babasar vishlu badagim, otam dagim mutar lo achlan bekotach. Namely, he basically says you can eat fish and meat. And the Shulchan Aruch, we all know, says you're not allowed to eat fish and meat. I'm sure many of you heard Rav Herschel Schechter say many times how many Jews are so careful not to eat fish and meat, and yet their cholesterol is sky high, they don't exercise, but fish and meat? No way. And indeed, Rav Melamed writes, makes clear that according to the Rambam, there is no iser of fish and meat. It's Mishuma Sakana, and against the Rambam didn't feel there is a Sakana.
Or just saying that you can't have fish that was cooked, not because of...
So you can use the same fork. For example, according to the Rambam, you can use the same fork for fish and meat.
Exactly.
Right? Something that many of us are so careful about, we always put out two forks. Right.
But
that's cooking.
Together with the meat, there's not a problem.
So you can have fish and meat on the same plate, and you can eat them.
Okay.
That's what the Rambam understands. He makes it public. The Balanit issue was a major issue in Israel. The Supreme Court got involved, and he basically brought the Shulchan Aruch that you should have a Balanit. And if there's no Balanit, then a woman can do various things to make sure that she goes under the water of the mikvah with no hair sticking up. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. He didn't bring it out of any other esoteric sefer. The only thing is, he made it public. Namely, now people know that you don't need a Balanit necessarily if you're taking precautions on your own. Number four, going against what's called the perceived accepted psak. I just want to say very briefly, in my humble opinion, there's three schools of thought that came at the same generation. The Maharshal, the Beit Yosef, and the Rama. Everyone knows the Beit Yosef paskin talacha based on what? The Shlosh Adam Udei Ara, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. The Rama, in general, paskin talacha based on whatever the Minhag in Ashkenaz was, as the Rosh Tevot Ashkenaz stands for, right? Ein She'ilot. Kacha nohagim, zeu. That's the Ramah on one foot. The Maharshal, living in the same generation, basically says, and you have sources here, and I'm, by the way, I can send this to anyone afterwards, I'm going to paskin halacha based on what I think. I don't know what the minhag is, I don't know what the Rif Ramah, I'm going to look at all the Rishonim and learn the sugya, and do what I think. If you want an example of this today, you could see that, let's say, Rav Usher Weiss is very much like the Raman is Piskei Halacha. This is the Minhag, and this is what we're going to continue to do. After a whole shir, he'll always say that. Let's say the Sephardi Chief Rabbi of Israel, I don't have to tell you, son of Rav Ovadia, will always pass him like the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? And the Maharshal, if you want examples of like a Maharshal kind of thing, if you knew Rav Rabinovich, if you know his shoot, Siach Nachum, or even Rav Moshe Feinstein in a way, these are people that paskin based on what they believe was correct. The Aruch HaShulchan in many ways is like what the Maharshal is. Based on this, going against what's called the accepted psak, indeed, Rav Melamed in his Sfarim brings things that people say are against the accepted psak. I brought two examples here. One of them, if a woman has a ketem that's more than a gris during Shiva Nikiyim, so does he have to wait 5 days before starting Shiva Nikiyim? Or not. Okay, Nesrami Chamatech Ketem, does she need the 5 days we usually wait? And the Shulchan Aruch says one thing, the Ramah says the other. Again, he exposes it and he makes known that you can be Mekel on this by doing, a woman can clean in that place and doesn't have to wait, and she can start the Shiva Nikiyim right away. In a case of a Ketem, again, this is not a case of a regular Nida, in a case of a Ketem. Chatzitza b'meyutche ino makpid. So many of you have either heard of horror stories or are dealing with horror stories from mikvahs of mikvah ladies that basically make you take off everything that you have on. Now, there's no secret that according to the Gemara and Nida, Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, there's mi de'oraita a chatzitza in a case of rubo and makpid, mi de'rabanan rubo afpa pisha ino makpid, makpid afpa pisha ino ra'uli, but there is no mi'utche ino makpid. The Gemara contemplates it and says it's a gzeira, l'gzeira, as you see on the screen. And indeed, it's, despite it, the Ramah comes in paskins. Again, Ramah, Minhag and Ashkenaz, we have to be machmir, and a woman has to take off everything, including nail polish she loves. So indeed, the Ramah is not alone. And therefore, Rav Melamed brings the Darkei Tshuva, the Aruch HaShulchan, and Rav Mashash, and basically says, these people say these are wild chumras, and therefore, basically, b'sha'at atchak, or in cases where there's a need, not even sha'at atchak, you could be mekel, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, for any tzorech. As I quote, nirali barud, ezeh rak she'en la tzorech b'zeh. Aval im yesh la'edesu tzorech b'zeh, yecholah la'asot kein lechatchila. And finally, he takes firm stance on issues where other people want you sort of to debate. Or I'll say it differently. Where the Kala teacher says, always ask a Rav about these issues, Rav Melamed will tell you what his point of view is on these issues. Namely, if a woman's having a problem conceiving, and it's because of what we call, I forgot the term in English now, when she has to wait 4 days and then 7 days, and therefore she can't conceive because her ovulation...
Halachic
infertility, thank you. So, obviously, the first thing a Rav would say, well, don't wait 5 days, wait 4 days. That's the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch against the Ramah. The Aruch HaShulchan says it. Now, where other people would say, consult a Rav, Rav Melamed would say, you don't have to consult the Rav. This is in the Shulchan Aruch. This is in the pamphlet. This is in the instruction manual. Okay? Issues such as if a woman goes and has a gynecological procedure and when she comes home there's blood, he says it's probably Dam Maka. If it's not during her period, etc. And he says it explicitly. He doesn't go ahead and say consult the Rav, etc. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Machon Pu'ah. Machon Pu'ah, for example, attacks Rav Balabin on that point there, top left of the screen. Says, how do you know? Maybe in some cases it did come me from the Rechem and therefore she is Asura. And how do you know it's a Dam Maka? Does a woman have to do Prisha Samuch Laveset at the beginning of her pregnancy? Now she knows she's pregnant, she did a pregnancy test. There's no blood coming out once a month. Does she have to do Prisha Samuch Laveset? Rav Moshe Feinstein here in the screen, Paskins, she doesn't today. Even though the Gemara said you have to wait 3 days, he says today... Three months. He says today you don't have to. She's a misuleket damim halachically. Rav Melamed makes this public, and many people say, how do you know? Maybe she's not pregnant. Maybe there's a false alarm. Again, he takes firm stands where others debate. And I just want to sum up by saying that Rav Melamed, I guess the issue today in Israel about him is he taking risks or is he taking responsibility? Is Rav Melamed going out and taking risks halachically that are not needed? He's exposing people to halachic opinions, and we all know they can abuse these opinions and use them in the wrong way. Namely, he brought the 4 day old what to do if a woman doesn't know Shiva Nikiyam and says, you should really count, you should really check every day. If you don't, at least day 1 and 7. Then there's two other opinions. Maybe people will say, forget about 1, forget about 2, I'll just go right to number 4. Maybe he's taking risks. On the other hand, many others would say, no, he's taking responsibility because that woman's not going to keep Taharat HaMishpacha. So at least, let's her keep Taharat HaMishpacha in a bidyevet form that's out there. So to sum up what I said today, I believe there's 5 issues against Rav Melamed. Number 1, he's too independent. He sits in Har Bracha and publicizes points of view. Number 2, he's a young, autonomous rabbi. Again, looking at his picture, he's not so young. But young, autonomous rabbi, that's disagreeing with older rabbis. Number 3, he's making private deot b'halacha that we all learned. Maybe Yoatzot Halacha know about. He makes them public. Number 4, he goes against what's perceived as the accepted psak halacha, such as the issue of chatzitza I showed a moment ago. And number 5, he takes firm stands where others want you to consult a rav.